The biggest question that I have after yesterday's preseason game number one, where will the Super Bowl parade start? Will it start at U.S. Bank Stadium, or will it finish at U.S. Bank Stadium? And do we go from Target Field? Like, where does it start? And have you set your seat yet? I'm kidding. It's one preseason game. But, Pete, I mean, I'll tell you, like everybody else in the state, I'm sure, I was watching. I wanted to see what J.J. McCarthy had.
Sure.
I liked what I saw for a lot of reasons. But I'm curious your thoughts on what you thought of the game, what you thought of J.J. McCarthy yesterday as well.
You know, it's never too big for J.J., and it's something I think that's really impressive. Now, I'm going to back off myself and say this is a preseason game. But all that being said, he's still a rookie. And the reality is that this guy has done it at every single level, right? I mean, we've talked about this because we know so much about him because of the fact that it's the highest pick we've ever taken for a quarterback in the draft. And for all the right reasons, he's looked great. When I was at practice, I've only gone to one, but he looked fantastic. And I came back and talked with you guys about how I thought he really seemed to be able to see the field really well. It didn't seem like this was too big of a moment for him out there on the field. It seems like the players absolutely love him, from JJ, the other JJ Jets. Mm-hmm. But they all seem to really like him. And I felt like the team, when I was at practice, it felt like the team, they knew who the starting quarterback is going to likely be in their minds or should be. So I think with all of that as a backdrop, I think he stepped up to the plate. I think he played very, very well. It's a preseason game, so we shouldn't get too outrageously high on this whole thing. But that pass that he threw to Tristan Jackson was absolutely picture perfect. Now,
it was a big boy throw.
Yeah, it was a big boy throw. Yeah. And I really think that he showed us a lot about who he is, how he is, and he's not afraid of it. That's what I love.
I'll say – go ahead, Charlie.
Yeah, I was going to say, the thing we knew coming in, or were at least pretty confident in, was the mental makeup is there, right? He's a championship-winning quarterback. All of that mental stuff, we were pretty confident he's going to be all right with. The concern was the physical, and the arm talent really stood out yesterday, and I was very impressed by that arm talent. You know, he made one bad mistake on the interception throw. That's going to happen. It's even, that's going to happen when he's a starter. But I think the physical traits that stood out were what really was heartening to me, because I'm pretty confident in that mentally he's gonna make the right decisions long term.
He was 11 of 17 yesterday, 188 yards, two touchdowns, and one interception. And I'll ask the audience this as well. You can hit us up on the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line. Does anything change for you about J.J. McCarthy after game one? If you thought he wasn't going to be the starter, do you think he should be? If you think he shouldn't be the starter, do you now think he is? I'll say this. I loved the plan. We don't need to see a lot of Sam Darnold, right? We know who he is. I heard this. Well, we know what he is. I mean, he's not going to. We know what he is, right? I mean, he's a placeholder until J.J. McCarthy is ready. But I liked the plan, and I think, once again, this does nothing for me. I still think J.J. McCarthy needs to sit and wait. What I did like, and you guys touched on it completely, and you're right, the mental makeup is there. He throws an interception. He comes back out. He's fine, right? He has a nice series going into the half. They come back out at the half. He's still doing well, right? Mm-hmm. I thought his passes had zip. I noticed, and you talked about that Tristan Jackson throw, and I loved it. It was, if you notice, if you watch it, he did not have that first touchdown pass. Jackson was in stride. He hit him right perfectly. There was the second one, I think, was just a little bit slower. But I will say this, and I heard this quote this week, and I agree with it. Preseason football is fool's gold, and it absolutely is. And so if you're excited and if you're thinking, holy cow, J.J. McCarthy is the real deal, remember that the Raiders were one of the worst teams against the pass last season, and this was not even all of their number ones, I don't believe. But he did exactly what you wanted to see him do. Mm-hmm. He came out. He played well. He stayed within himself. Pete, you said it. It didn't look like the game was too big for him. The only real knock I'd say, and there was one play where he took off running, and I think he tried to juke two guys and then jumped, and they panned immediately to Kevin O'Connell, who looks like a disapproving father, And my son says, why is he mad? I said, because he wants that kid to slide. You got to learn how to slide, son. Like, don't take on two defenders. I thought he played great. I like it. I like that they gave him the whole game. I hope that they give him a lot of reps this preseason. And then I hope we don't see him again, if at all, this year. I really – that's not going to happen. He's going to play at some point. I know that. But I hope it's not for that first month of the season. That's just me.
Well, and I know last week that you and I and Charlie disagreed a little bit on that one. I'm still in the camp of he's picked that high in the draft for a reason. And I think also we aren't a terrible team with a terrible offensive line with no running game and no receivers. We aren't one of those teams. And because of that, that's why I'm so adamant about the fact that if he is there, and this is just one preseason game, but if he's ready and his practices have looked fantastic, every day it seems like we see the highlights from practice, almost to the point of, hey, they're really trying to push this down our throats right now. But I think that the reality is that this guy is ready for it. I think he could step out there and he could command this team. And I think that if you ask Jets, JJ, the other JJ, about this, I think he would say the same thing. They're with these guys all day long and they look them in the eye and they see how they read and they see how they move. And let's not forget, he's actually got a pretty good physique on him too. I mean, this isn't some guy who's wiry or whatever. I mean, he's got the weight that you'd want. I think he's solid. And that arm strength, and Charlie, you brought that up, but the arm is better than people want to give him credit for. For whatever reason, nobody wants to say that this guy can throw the ball, but this guy can throw the ball. He's got that kind of arm strength that's right up there with those guys who went 1, 2, and 3.
What I found interesting, not to totally switch gears, but I'll tell you the other guy that really popped off the screen for me yesterday, and I know you're going to love this, Pete, is Dallas Turner.
Oh, yeah.
Watching him play yesterday and did exactly what you would expect him to do, right? He goes against Christian Darrisaw every day in practice, and he just kicked the snot out of the whoever he was going against for the Raiders. It wasn't even – I mean, he just – almost every play. Yeah. And I thought, boy, I Dallas Turner is a really great player. Boy, with him on one side and Grenard on the other, man, that's going to be good.
Outstanding. And he's big. He's strong. You know, I've always complained about the fact that I think sometimes our linebackers, and those guys to me are not linebackers. You know, the defensive coordinator and everybody else out there can call these guys linebackers all day long. They're not. They're literally defensive ends. But every once in a while, they'll stand up and they'll approach it that way. But Dallas Turner is the real deal. I mean, anybody who watched him in college knows at Alabama, he was as unbelievable as Anderson the year before, as all the other linebackers that have come out of there. I think I felt bad for a couple of guys who just don't seem to be able to be in the NFL, though, like Lewisine. I understand the injuries all the rest of it, but he's just not there, Dave. I mean, it's you know, the other guy was just kind of a throw it out there and see what happens. Jaren Hall, you know, we've got some quarterbacks. Obviously, we've got two that we look, I think, pretty highly on. But Jaren Hall did not show us anything against what you just said, which was a really bad pass defense team and just didn't look like anything. It was kind of like, you're a BYU guy. You should be a little bit better, but you're not. And I think that's the problem I see with him as well.
Jaren Hall is going to make a great UFL quarterback or XFL quarterback, whatever one of those. What is it called now? What is the spring?
USFL.
USFL, thank you. He will be he'll be like the MVP of the USFL in a couple years. And that's not his fault. You know, sixth-round pick from BYU. I'm sure they didn't expect much. I think he was a sixth-round pick. I don't think they expected much from him other than, you know, he had his shot last year. And, you know, that's interesting, too. Again, the competition levels are different, preseason versus regular season. But I just – when you watched J.J. McCarthy yesterday, he looked confident. He looked like a guy who owned that huddle, who owned the line of scrimmage, and who never once questioned. He was solid. He didn't have happy feet. Now, all that can change after a couple of tough games in the NFL, but – I will say that his command of the offense and what was going on there, I felt pretty good about. Alec Lewis, by the way, will join us at 11:05 today to talk more about the Vikings. I'm curious if he thinks J.J. McCarthy should be starting week one or not. We'll chat with him coming up at 11:05. Coming up next, we'll take a quick break here, and we'll talk Gopher football. Yes. Wins, losses, and I have one team on my schedule that I legitimately have no idea how this game is going to go. We'll talk about it with Professor Pete, picking the pigskin.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And coming up next. Wow. All right. If you're an Olympics fan and you're waiting to watch it on the replay,
don't ruin
plug
it.
Your ears.
Yeah.
What's that?
Don't ruin it for the people. Just have
no,
them.
You tell them. That's what you
He's
do. Ruin it when I was in television, you say, everyone, I'm about to ruin something for you. So turn down your radio for like 10 seconds, 30 seconds, and then come back right now. Holy cow. What an ending to the U.S.-France women's basketball game. U.S. wins. Is it 68, 67?
67-66, I believe.
67-66 for the gold medal. Congratulations to Nafisha Collier, Cheryl Reeve, the Minnesota Lynx bringing home a gold medal. Great game. Okay, now your volume is back up. I encourage you to watch this one later. It's a fantastic contest with no sort of bias towards the winner. All right, Pete, go for football. We are 18 days away. 18 days away from the first game of the season.
Yeah. August 29th.
Great time to. What's that?
August 29th.
So 18 games away. Charlie, I would love for you to take part in this if you'd like to.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's go through the schedule. We can talk about, we'll say win-loss, or if there's, I have one that I like legitimately I just don't know how it's going to be, and you guys will probably laugh at me for it, but that's okay. Okay, first game of the season, August 29th, North Carolina at home. Peter.
I think that the Golden Gophers come out strong. I like what I've seen so far of the Gophers in the spring and now into the fall. It's not really fall, but it does feel like fall. I think that what we have with 16 starters returning and Brosmer at quarterback and some unbelievable players on both sides of the ball, I think that we actually beat North Carolina this go-around as opposed to that trip last year. And it was a tough one. And they had a really good quarterback. But that quarterback's now gone. He's in the NFL. I think that the Gophers take him.
Yeah, no, I'm going to agree with you there, Pete. I think you've got experience coming in. The quarterback is going to be, you know, ready to roll. It's not like Athan last year who, you know, rookie jitters, all of those things in the first couple games, whatever you want to call it. I think, you know, UNC is still pretty good, but they're not as good as they were last year. They have a very good running back. Quarterback's going to be unproven. Actually, you know who the quarterback is at UNC this year?
I was just going to bring it up. Yep.
Yeah, Mr. Max Johnson, who transferred from Texas A&M, the son of Brad Johnson. Brad Johnson's son is going to be quarterback.
I remember when he was born and then talking about it on the radio, and they said, his name is Maximus Johnson. I'm like, really? They named the kid Max Johnson?
They sure did.
And now he's a quarterback for North Carolina. I agree. That's a win for the Gophers. They don't have Drake May anymore. A different team. All right, game number two. We don't have to spend a ton of time on this one. I imagine we all feel the same way. The University of Rhode Island. Rhode Island's mascot?
Yeah, I don't know that one either. But I will say this, that the East Coast does have some good football, for sure, but not Rhode Island, and not Rhode Island coming in here to play against the Gophers. So the Gophers win that one.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just going to say that they're gonna sweep the non-con, at least those first three beginning of the season games. Brosmer is going to want to beat Rhode Island pretty badly as well. That's a rival of New Hampshire when he was out there. So.
Oh, God.
That's a stretch for bulletin board material, and I am here for it. I mean, I really am.
Yeah. So yeah, like I'm going to say that they're going to win that, and I'll beat you to the punch here. They'll beat Nevada too.
Can anyone say, does anyone know what the University of Rhode Island's mascot is?
Gosh, no.
I don't either. I'm trying to find it on their site, and I
Rhodey
can't find
the
it.
Rhodey the Ram. The Rhode Island Rams.
Rhodey the Ram. So they are the Rams. Rhode Island Rams?
They sure are.
Because when I think of the Northeast, I think a plethora of Rams. Okay. Next game. We have on the schedule Nevada. Win or loss, what do you got?
We're going to win. Charlie said we're going to win. I don't think there's anything else to say. Although I will tell you, it is not, that one's not going to be easy. They generally put together a pretty good football team.
Yeah, they do. I have Nevada as a win as well.
They were very bad last year, and it doesn't look like they've improved much this year. You never know. You're right. They're generally a pretty decent Mountain West team, so still early in the season. Maybe they're getting their feet under them, but they weren't very good last year.
No.
All right, now we move into the meat of the schedule. September 21st, Iowa at home. Pete.
It's a home game. I think the Gophers roll on them. I like Iowa a lot. I'm one of those few guys who can actually say that because I have to step back as a Gopher and just look at them as a team. They always have a defense. They always have the offensive line, a good running game, and they have not had a passing game in I don't know how many years, but that might change now with some of the changes at the coaching staff and everything. So with that being said, it's going to be a challenge, but I think the Gophers take them.
No, Charlie. I'm going to agree with you.
Oh, boy.
I just don't see – Iowa's defense is going to be great. It always is. Low-scoring game, it always is. Until they show me that the offense can do a single thing, I'm going to go with this. Now, first 3 weeks of the season, maybe Iowa's quarterback starts going off. Okay, maybe I'll revise this this opinion. But until they show me that the offense can do much, I'm going to say the Gophers win a low-scoring matchup.
Well, I have it as a loss.
That's fair.
Iowa. I mean, they were so good last year. Granted, I think they have a new quarterback now, right? They have the kid who transferred over from
Had him last year, but he was injured.
Cade McNamara, yeah. So, I mean, I guess, you know, the thing about predicting this stuff is, especially I feel like, and where I kept running into difficulty is, like, we don't know what Max Brosmer's going to be. Mm-hmm. And you know, good or bad, say what you want. You have a really good quarterback, it turns some of these losses into wins. And a bad quarterback turns some of these wins into losses if he doesn't pan out the way we think. So I have Iowa as a loss. We're running out of time, so we got to keep
let's
going. We got to go fast.
Let's
Michigan.
That's a
Michigan
loss. At the big loss. House. That's a loss. Come on,
loss. Agreed. USC.
I don't think USC is that good. I can't go out and say that's going to be a win though. I know it's at home, but I think that's a loss.
I'm going to go with the win, and here's why. They are not a tough football team. They just aren't. Mm-hmm. They don't work out in the weight room. They don't do any of that kind of stuff. It's Pac-12 football. Those guys are going to get a slap in the face when they realize where they are in the Big Ten.
And certainly if it were in the year, if the cold weather were a factor, it's going to be October 5th at that point. If the cold weather were a factor, I would say, lean Gophers. But still.
It could be cold here in October.
Could be.
Early October, though.
We beat them either
I'd
way.
Be surprised.
They're soft.
I actually have USC as a win. I think without Caleb Williams, it's a different team. Different style of football, so we'll see how that goes on with Pete. UCLA, by the way, is in Los Angeles, in case you didn't know. And the game is being played in Los Angeles because the school is in Los Angeles, in case you didn't know. Pete.
The coach is a bit of a nut, but I think, unfortunately, that's a really tough travel for the Gophers. I don't know why. I don't like that. The way that's going to go the very first time. Unfortunately, I think we dropped that one.
I'm going to reverse it here, Pete. You got them beating USC, losing to UCLA. I haven't beaten UCLA, losing to USC. I think UCLA is a weaker team. I mean, you can put all the things you said about USC being soft and all of those things onto UCLA, and they also don't have the talent that USC has. I just don't see them as
I haven't
good of
beating.
A team.
I haven't beating UCLA. I don't have a whole lot of faith in Deshaun Foster yet, I'll tell you that. And
no.
I think... I just don't think they're going to be as good as they're not going to be as good as USC, and I think they're going to be USC. So, Maryland.
It's tough to travel to UCLA, by the way, and we're going to be in the Rose Bowl. So a lot of people are going there just because the game's in the Rose Bowl. Maryland, I think we beat them. It's home game. We beat them.
Yeah, Maryland home. That should be a win.
I have it as a trip-up loss on October 26th. Illinois.
Ooh, ouch.
I know. Illinois.
We're going to lose. We're going to lose to Illinois just because we can't beat Bielema.
Yeah, I'm going to go with you there, Pete. I think they lose. at Illinois.
I have that as well.
They've got more talent, and like you said, Bielema was there.
8th and Kaliak Manis and Rutgers on November 9th at Rutgers.
That's an easy travel. We beat them, and we come home with a victory.
PJ is not losing to an 8th and Kaliak Manis quarterback team. It's just not going to happen.
He gets picked off twice. That's my pick.
Only twice? That's a pretty good game.
Well, they'll pull him after that. Penn State.
It's a home game. We're going to get waxed. I hate to say it, but we are.
Yeah. I'm not going to say we're going to get waxed, but I don't think we're going to win.
I agree. Here's the one that I honestly had no idea. Wisconsin at Wisconsin.
Wisconsin, we take them, and we get 8 wins, like I said last week. I think we go 8-4 this year.
Yeah, it's just hard to determine with the air raid being installed at Wisconsin. It's going to be a totally different look. I mean, we know Wisconsin to be the big offensive line and the bruising running backs, and that's not what they're going to be right now. And I'm not sure if they have the horses to be that air raid team quite yet. I think they're still building that. But the quarterback's a question mark, and the wide receivers are big question marks. So I'm not convinced that they're going to be able to do it quite yet. I got the Gophers.
All right. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 for me. I think, Pete, you had 8 wins.
Yep.
I have an unknown on Wisconsin. I have not. I can't
it's
figure that
one.
Howard.
I know. I'll take it as a win. How about that? We'll go 8 wins this year. Although I don't necessarily think – I don't think that's going to happen, but I'll put it as a win.
It's going to happen.
All right. Let's take a break. Come back. We'll do the fast break. You're listening to The Huddle.
All right, guys. Almost forgot the opening there. Little delay. That's okay. We made it.
I can do more weather if you want.
No, we got it in time, right? That worked out.
Felt really good about that.
It's perfect October weather.
Thank you.
It is. It's beautiful out. I love it being a little cooler outside. Windows open. It's phenomenal. I've only got 3 questions for you today. I don't know. It felt mostly Olympic-y, and we're hitting a lot of other places, so we're only going to do 3 quick questions. So we'll start with you, Pete. We are at the end of the Olympic Games. I have it on TV right now. They're bringing out some medals for the women's basketball team. The closing ceremonies are this afternoon, I believe, and we will officially see you in 4 years in Los Angeles. The next Summer Olympics are going to be in the United States in Los Angeles. It'll be interesting to see how those goes. It's going to be hard to top Paris, though. I mean, some of those venues in Paris, can you imagine the difference between L.A. and Paris having the Eiffel Tower in the background? In L.A., it's just going to be, I don't know, a scrapyard.
Smog cloud.
Yeah, smog. It'll be good. It'll be fun, you know. Great. Go to an event. It'll be cool. But whatever. My question, though, Pete, retrospective on the Olympics, what was your favorite part? You watched some of it, I'm sure. Nobody caught all of it. But what was your favorite thing that you saw during these Olympic Games?
The domination, absolute domination of the USA in track and field. And whether it's the field events with shot put and all the rest of it and discus. And it just absolutely amazing how athletic people have become. And every 4 years, it's magical because they're better than the previous. Look at all of the record-breaking running and hurdling and all of that. Absolutely incredible, and it blew me away. And I'll tell you, I love the passion of our folks. They are so passionate about what they're doing, and commitment is unbelievable that people don't even have any idea or realize about it. So I'm going to say the track and field stole me. Every time I'd see anything in that genre or whatever, I would jump and just be excited.
Was there any particular one, or just kind of everything?
Oh, I was a hurdler, so the guy, the 110-meter hurdles, I think some of those relays really catch you, too, because, you know, now it's not just you against the world, it's your team against the world, and not always works. And as a matter of fact, once again, the men in the 4x100, we dropped the baton. You know, we didn't run well, and we just ran up each other's back, and we had missed, unfortunately, it just doesn't work, but... Man, I'll tell you, it's super exciting just to see the athleticism of our people.
Dave, you got anything?
You know what? I'm going to go track and field as well.
Not breaking?
No, not breaking. I was so impressed with, I loved watching Kenny Bednarik. I loved watching Noah Lyles. Sha'Carri Richardson, and you're going to have to correct, because I think it was the end of the relay, or maybe it was just a sprint, where she takes off and she looks over and she sees like the camera. I think it was an individual event. But those sprinters are – I mean, if ever there was a time where you thought someone is born specifically for this skill, they are so impressive. how fast they can go. I mean, I tore my hamstring just watching them. It was amazing how fast they are. And you know, Noah Lyles is running and he had COVID 2 days before. It's incredible. I'm really in awe of all of it. You know, Simone Biles, and you know, when she jumps and does her triple twist flip, gets 12 feet in the air. Like, are we the same human being? I don't even know how that happens. So it's just, I love just these extraordinary experiences from now. And, you know, the most interesting thing that David Palmer said last week, like, now as of Sunday, August 11th, for the last 2.5 weeks, you were rock stars. Mm-hmm. And now tomorrow morning, or maybe Wednesday morning, time to clock in and go back to work. You know, and it's all over. And so I love the Olympics. I always have. I loved covering them. I love watching them, and it's fun to see.
Yeah. Well, next one we'll have a better chance of a lot of local people that are going to be able to actually attend some of these events. I think I'm going to try to get to LA in 4 years. Why not, right?
Yeah.
How many opportunities you got?
Spend the entire time in your car. Go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Can you imagine how bad traffic's going to be?
Didn't you see they announced the venues are going to be public transit only?
No, I didn't see
that.
Yeah,
you can't drive.
That's good.
You can't drive to them. It's going to be only public transit to get to those stadiums.
Good. Yeah.
It'll be good if they figure out how to do the public transit. Then
until Tom Cruise wants to go watch, and then they're going to let him drive.
Well, sure. You know, there's always outliers. All right, we'll move on here. Dave, the Twins got a slew of bad injury news this week as it was announced. One, Brooks Lee, he's going to be injured for a little bit. But two, the real biggie was Joe Ryan, who had a more serious injury than they expected. They're not saying he's out for the season yet, but signs seem to point that way, at the very least being out for the regular season, particularly, you know, if they make – I don't know. It's not a good injury. He's going to be out for a while. That's going to leave pretty much two spots now at the bottom of the Twins rotation that's going to have to be filled, and somebody's going to have to step up. Some of the names you're likely to see are going to be more of David Festa, who had a great start his last time out, a top prospect for the Twins. Louis Varland, who we know well, has been in the bullpen now and again, but will be starting some games again for the Twins going forward. And the other name that's going to pop up quite a bit, and you know, TBD on if we really see him, but it seems likely, especially with this injury, it's going to be Zebby Matthews. Yeah, his name is Zebby. Zebby Matthews. He's another one of the Twins' top pitching prospects. He'll likely get some work in here. TBD, don't know for sure. Who are you most excited to see? Who do you have the most confidence in out of the bottom of this rotation going forward?
Well, I mean, I like what Simeon Woods Richardson, other than just a couple of pitches. I think it was yesterday that he threw out there. But I like that he's kind of come on here, had a pretty decent second half. But I will tell you that losing, you got Joe Ryan, you got Paddock, right? He's out as well. I mean,
he's not
your rotation,
seeming like he's going to be back anytime soon.
Yeah, your rotation is hurting. And, you know, we've talked about it. That's the challenge when you say the guys on this, you know, the guys that are going to help us win at the trade deadline, the guys that are going to help us win are the guys in this locker room. Well, you didn't go out and get anybody except, you know, a reliever. And so now your rotation is decimated immediately with two injuries. And so, you know, that it's a good theory, and I will listen, I'll be the first one to say that I bought into it, all right? I said, hey, the guys in this locker room are here. Well, guess what? Now you don't have Joe Ryan or Chris Paddock, and now you're in a lot of trouble. And now what are you going to do? Because you didn't go out and get, as you said, Charlie, a third starter. Someone else to help you in that rotation should, and inevitably when injuries happen. So now it bit him in the butt. Can they continue to move forward? They had a nice day Friday, not as good yesterday. And the schedule coming down the stretch, there's a lot of winnable games. But are they too hurt? It's tough. I mean, they flew too close to the sun, and it seems as if they may have gotten their wings burned a little bit.
We'll get back to that point later, Dave, because I think you're absolutely wrong about them struggling.
There's a shock.
But, yeah, you've got – so I mean, going forward, right, you've got Woods Richardson, you've got Festa, you've got Varland, Lopez, Ober probably. Another name that was thrown out there, Dan Hayes of The Athletic, who we've had on previously, threw out that the Twins are showing a little bit of interest in Rich Hill, the 44-year-old former Twin who's been all around Major League Baseball. He wants to pitch for a contender down the stretch, and the Twins could use – any depth they can right now. So
if you're hanging your season on a 44-year-old,
I don't think anybody's hanging their season on it. I think that everybody can use depth. I don't know if hanging the season on Rich Hill becoming a great starter is anything. No, he would be a 5 or 6 starter for a little while.
Did you ever
while.
See the movie The Rookie with Dennis Quaid? Yeah, is there one of those guys out there anywhere?
That was real. That was real.
That's Rich Hill.
I know.
Yeah, that's him. You just described Rich Hill. So
we'll see.
No, it's no reason to panic, in my opinion. But what we can get back to it later. Pete, you got anything to add?
Well, the only thing I'd say is going into the trade deadline, that was one of the things that I really wanted us to do was grab a pitcher. And it's not looking back. I mean, we said it at the time. It's like, you know, it doesn't really have to affect the team in any negative way. If anything, it's going to give us a positive. We didn't do that. We didn't do anything, like you said, Dave. We had one pitcher I don't know how deep on the roster he really is, but the reality is that's what we needed, and we didn't go there. And so, you know, I think we're going to still be a team that probably gets into the postseason and everything, but what are our chances once we get there, right? I mean, when you look at what our lineup looks like, and now it's gotten decimated, obviously, with injuries, we didn't know that was going to happen. But I would say even without that, we were struggling in terms of beating teams with good records. We didn't do much of that. We still haven't done much of that. And we are beating a lot of the teams that don't have great records. So I don't think you last very long in the postseason unless you've got some pitching, and we've got to start beating teams with winning records.
I mean, yes and no on the pitching. Once you get, if you get to the postseason, you're only using 3 pitchers. You know, you're only using 3 starters, and you got Lopez and you got Ober as a 1-2, and you got Woods Richardson, honestly, maybe as a number 3, or if somebody else really starts to show something, maybe David Festa.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
All right, guys. Almost forgot the opening there. Little delay. That's okay. We made it.
I can do more weather if you want.
No, we got it in time, right? That worked out.
Felt really good about that.
It's perfect October weather.
Thank you.
It is. It's beautiful out. I love it being a little cooler outside. Windows open. It's phenomenal. I've only got 3 questions for you today. I don't know. It felt mostly Olympic-y, and we're hitting a lot of other places. So we're only going to do 3 quick questions. So we'll start with you, Pete. We are at the end of the Olympic Games. I have it on TV right now. They're bringing out some medals for the women's basketball team. The closing ceremonies are this afternoon, I believe, and we will officially see you in 4 years in Los Angeles. The next Summer Olympics are going to be in the United States, in Los Angeles. It'll be interesting to see how those goes. It's going to be hard to top Paris, though. I mean, some of those venues in Paris, can you imagine the difference between L.A. and Paris, having the Eiffel Tower in the background, and L.A. it's just going to be, I don't know, a scrapyard?
Smog cloud.
Yeah, smog. It'll be good. It'll be fun, you know. Great. Go to an event. It'll be cool. But whatever. My question, though, Pete, retrospective on the Olympics. What was your favorite part? You watched some of it. I'm sure nobody caught all of it. But what was your favorite thing that you saw during these Olympic Games?
The domination, absolute domination of the USA in track and field. And whether it's the field events with shot put and all the rest of it and discus. And it just absolutely amazing how athletic people have become. And every 4 years, it's magical because they're better than the previous. Look at all of the record-breaking running and hurdling and all of that absolutely incredible, and it blew me away. And I'll tell you, and I love the passion of our folks. They are so passionate about what they're doing, and commitment is unbelievable that people don't even have any idea or realize about it. So I'm going to say the track and field stole me. Yeah. Every time I'd see anything in that genre or whatever, I would jump and just be excited.
Was there any particular one, or just kind of everything?
Oh, I was a hurdler, so the 110 meter hurdles. I think some of those relays really catch you too, because you know now it's not just you against the world; it's your team against the world, and not always works. And as a matter of fact, once again, the men in the 4x100, we dropped the baton. We didn't run well, and we just ran up each other's back, and we had missed. Unfortunately, it just doesn't work, but. Man, I'll tell you, it's super exciting just to see the athleticism of our people.
Dave, you got anything?
You know what? I'm going to go track and field as well.
Not breaking? Because
not breaking. I was so impressed with, I loved watching Kenny Bednarik. I loved watching Noah Lyles. Sha'Carri Richardson, and you're going to have to correct, because I think it was the end of the relay, or maybe it was just a sprint, where she takes off and she looks over and she sees like the camera. I think it was an individual event. But those sprinters if ever there was a time where you thought someone is born specifically for this skill, they are so impressive how fast they can go. I mean, I tore my hamstring just watching them. It was amazing. How fast they are. And you know, Noah Lyles is running and he had COVID 2 days before. It's incredible. I'm really in awe of all of it. You know, Simone Biles, and you know, when she jumps and does her triple twist flip, gets 12 feet in the air. Like, are we the same human being? I don't even know how that happens. So it's just, I love just these extraordinary experiences from now. And, you know, the most interesting thing that David Plummer said last week, like now as of Sunday, August 11th, for the last 2.5 weeks, you were rock stars. Mm. And now tomorrow morning, or maybe Wednesday morning, time to clock in and go back to work, you know, and it's all over. And so I love the Olympics. I always have. I loved covering them. I love watching them. And it's fun to see.
Yeah. Well, next one, we'll have a better chance of a lot of local people that are going to be able to actually attend some of these events. I think I'm going to try to get to LA in 4 years. Why not? Right.
Yeah.
How many opportunities you got?
Spend the entire time in your car. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Can you imagine how bad traffic's going to be?
Didn't you see they announced the venues are going to be public transit only?
No, I didn't see
that.
Yeah,
you can't drive.
That's good.
You can't drive to them. It's going to be only public transit to get to those stadiums.
Good. Yeah.
It'll be good if they figure out how to do the public transit.
Until Tom Cruise wants to go watch, and then they're going to let him drive.
Well, sure. You know, there's always outliers. All right, we'll move on here. Dave, the Twins got a slew of bad injury news this week as it was announced. One, Brooks Lee, he's going to be injured for a little bit. But two, the real biggie was Joe Ryan, who had a more serious injury than they expected. They're not saying he's out for the season yet, but signs seem to point that way, at the very least being out for the regular season, particularly, you know, if they make – I don't know. It's not a good injury. He's going to be out for a while. That's going to leave pretty much two spots now at the bottom of the Twins rotation that's going to have to be filled, and somebody's going to have to step up. Some of the names you're likely to see are going to be more of David Festa, who had a great start his last time out, a top prospect for the Twins. Louis Varland, who we know well, has been in the bullpen now and again, but will be starting some games again for the Twins going forward. And the other name that's going to pop up quite a bit, and you know, TBD on if we really see him, but it seems likely, especially with this injury, it's going to be Zebby Matthews. Yeah, his name is Zebby. Zebby Matthews. He's another one of the Twins' top pitching prospects. He'll likely get some work in here. TBD, don't know for sure. Who are you most excited to see? Who do you have the most confidence in out of the bottom of this rotation going forward?
Well, I mean, I like what Simeon Woods Richardson, other than just a couple of pitches. I think it was yesterday. That he threw out there. But I like that he's kind of come on here, had a pretty decent second half. But I will tell you that losing, you got Joe Ryan, you got Paddock, right? He's out as well. I mean,
he's not your rotation, like he's going to be back anytime soon.
Yeah, your rotation is hurting. And, you know, we've talked about it. That's the challenge when you say the guys on this, you know, the guys that are going to help us win at the trade deadline, the guys that are going to help us win – are the guys in this locker room. Well, you didn't go out and get anybody except, you know, some a reliever. And so now your rotation is decimated immediately with two injuries. And so, you know, that it's a good theory, and I will listen, I'll be the first one to say that I bought into it, all right? I said, "Hey, the guys in this locker room are here." Well, guess what? Now you don't have Joe Ryan or Chris Paddock, and now you're in a lot of trouble. And now what are you going to do? Because you didn't go out and get, as you said, Charlie, a third starter. Someone else to help you in that rotation should and inevitably when injuries happen. So now it bit him in the butt. Can they continue to move forward? They had a nice day Friday, not as good yesterday. And the schedule coming down the stretch, there's a lot of winnable games. But are they too hurt? It's tough. I mean, they flew too close to the sun, and it seems as if they may have gotten their wings burned a little bit.
We'll get back to that point later, Dave, because I think you're okay. Absolutely wrong about okay. them struggling.
There's a shock.
But, yeah, you've got – so now, I mean, going forward, right, you got Woods Richardson, you got Festa, you've got Varlin, Lopez, Ober probably. Another name that was thrown out there, Dan Hayes of The Athletic, who we've had on previously throughout that the Twins are showing a little bit of interest in Rich Hill, the 44-year-old former Twin who's been all around Major League Baseball. He wants to pitch for a contender down the stretch, and the Twins could use – any depth they can right now. So
if you're hanging your season on a 44-year-old,
I don't think anybody's
former
hanging
player.
Their season on it. I think that everybody can use depth. I don't know if hanging the season on Rich Hill becoming a great starter is anything. No, he would be a 5 or 6 starter for a little while.
Did you ever
while.
See the movie The Rookie with Dennis Quaid? Yeah, is there one of those guys out there anywhere?
That was real. That was real.
That's Rich Hill.
I know.
Yeah, that's him. You just Maybe. Described Rich Hill. So
we'll see.
No, it's no reason to panic, in my opinion. But what we can get back to it later. Pete, you got anything to add?
Well, the only thing I'd say is going into the trade deadline, that was one of the things that I really wanted us to do was grab a pitcher. And it's not looking back. I mean, we said it at the time. It's like, you know, it doesn't really have to affect the team in any negative way. If anything, it's going to give us a positive. We didn't do that. We didn't do anything, like you said, Dave. We had one pitcher I don't know how deep on the roster he really is, but the reality is that's what we needed, and we didn't go there. And so, you know, I think we're going to still be a team that probably gets into the postseason and everything, but what are our chances once we get there, right? I mean, when you look at what our lineup looks like, and now it's gotten decimated, obviously, with injuries, we didn't know that was going to happen. But I would say even without that, we were struggling in terms of beating teams with good records. We didn't do much of that. We still haven't done much of that. And we are beating a lot of the teams that don't have great records. So I don't think you last very long in the postseason unless you've got some pitching, and we've got to start beating teams with winning records.
I mean, yes and no on the pitching. Once you get, if you get to the postseason, you're only using three pitchers. You know, you're only using three starters, and you got Lopez and you got Ober as a 1-2, and you got Woods Richardson, honestly, maybe as a number three, or if somebody else really starts to show something, maybe David Festa. So I'm not as concerned.
But we're not going to be playing the White Sox.
And no,
we're
not of course
gonna
not.
You know what I mean? I mean, that's where I'm going with it. We are reduced down, and we're going to have to play up and do. Can we do that? What if any of those three suddenly they have a bad second inning, and all of a sudden you're starting to looking around, and you're like, what are we going to do here? You know, that's the problem. Is you've got to have that kind of depth in baseball. You guys know better than anybody, Charlie. I know you know the sport so well, but you got to have some depth, and we just don't have it right now.
Yeah, we'll see where things go. I mean, they swept Cleveland the other day. I mean, obviously they lost last night 2-1. Offense didn't come together, but they've been beating Cleveland. Cleveland's looking really rough again. We're going to talk a little bit more Twins baseball, I think, later on in the show. But we'll move on to my last question here. I think it's back to Pete. Uh-oh. Pete, we're officially into the football season, as we've already talked about. We already talked about J.J. McCarthy. We're going to talk more football next hour with Alec Lewis of The Athletic. But I was perusing games and stat lines that were not the Vikings the other day, Pete. And a couple names that stood out that I know you really like, Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams, both look pretty impressive quarterback in their new teams. My question, Pete, we're pretty much through, I don't know, like one preseason week as far as games go. I think there's a couple more today, but for the most part, we're through a week. We've seen some of these guys out there. Who's been really impressive to you so far in the preseason that is not on the Vikings?
Yeah, you brought up one of them right away for me, which is Jaden Daniels. I thought the world of that kid. I thought he was probably the best quarterback in the entire draft, and I still stick by that. I think Caleb Williams is fine. He went to the right team. They've got receivers. They've got they've put him in a great position to win, and he will start. So I think Jaden Daniels. It's a terrible football team, but of the quarterbacks so far, he really does stand out, and I really like. I love the kid. I thought he did an amazing job in you know, his college career, moving different teams and different schools. But I think he is ready for the NFL. He's thin, and he's going to have to work on trying to stay healthy. But that's a guy who looks pretty daggone ready for the NFL.
Yeah, I worry about his legs. They're just so skinny. I mean, just skinny. One little thing gets rolled up under there. I'm like, man. But he looked impressive in that first game. He was 2 of 3 on the drive. He had a rushing touchdown. He looked pretty good. Anybody else, or do we want to throw it over to Dave? If anybody
throw it over to Dave. Yeah, that's
actually was going to say, did you see that? So Jaden Daniels, because I watched some of the highlights, he threw a really like a bomb at one point, but that was not what the play called for. So he basically called an audible at the line and called an all go route for everybody. And then it worked. You know, I don't remember if he got a touchdown or a first down out of it, but basically he's like, hey, coaches tell me that if I see something that I need to change, I can change it. And then Dan Quinn's like, yeah. Maybe not that. He wasn't exactly supposed to do that, and he did it anyway. So, you know, it's not really the way to go. Here it is. Daniel says, yeah, I mean, it's something we thought in practice throughout the time I've been here. Cliff Kingsbury was like, hey, if you don't like this look, then check it. Dan Quinn said, I thought of Top Gun, Quinn said. Do I have permission to buzz the tower? No, Ghost Rider. The pattern is full.
I mean, it's a preseason game. Let the kids sling it, right?
I know.
Yeah.
I just love Yeah, I was supposed to do that. Dan Quinn's like, eh, no, you don't.
Hey, one last guy I will throw out there, though, to you, Joe Milton. You know, he's been getting talked about a little bit more and a little bit more. Everybody talks about Drake May. I thought last year Drake May had taken a step back from his freshman year. And I look at Joe Milton with the physical ability to do everything, and he did such a great job in college at Michigan. I watched him against our Gophers strike us down pretty good. And the guy just is amazing, I think, and a Tennessee guy, and he went very, very late. I can't remember how late it was, fifth or sixth round, something like that. But I've been hearing more and more positive things about what he looks like so far in camp and what he looks like as a physical specimen. He is special.
All right, that's all I got for you guys. We'll head into break here as we're getting close to the end of the hour.
Yeah, come back, talk a little St. Thomas football. Pete, you were out there yesterday. We'll get the news and notes coming up next. Pete, you were out at St. Thomas yesterday. What'd you see?
St. Thomas University, or the University of St. Thomas, I should say. Those guys are the real deal. I know that, you know, we all know they went Division I a few years ago. And what I don't think everybody realizes is there's a time frame where they can't play in the postseason because they're brand new to the Division I football and they came from D3. This is the best coach team that I have seen in a really long time. Now, I give kudos to P.J. Fleck and how he runs the team as well. But Glenn Caruso, we've got to have him on as a guest, guys, once in a while, some of these games and everything. And he's right in our backyard, and the guy's winning percentage as a coach is unbelievable. You look at him in the MIAC, 88% wins. You look at a Division I, geez, it's going to go way down. He's got 87% wins in the conference and 78% winning. I mean, it's just amazing what they have built over there with their quarterbacks, their running backs. And Charlie was talking about one of the offensive linemen has aspirations for the NFL. He's got the size, so time will tell if he's got the ability. But they have a big, huge offensive line, good running back, good quarterback. I couldn't tell you how impressed I was by these guys and what they were able to do over there.
How impressed was Alec Lewis about J.J. McCarthy's performance yesterday? We'll talk to him, Alec Lewis of The Athletic, and some more football coming up next. Pete, you were out at St. Thomas yesterday. What'd you see?
St. Thomas University, or the University of St. Thomas, I should say. Those guys are the real deal. I know that, you know, we all know they went Division I a few years ago. And what I don't think everybody realizes is there's a time frame where they can't play in the postseason because they're brand new to the Division I football, and they came from D3. This is the best coach team that I have seen in a really long time. Now, I give kudos to P.J. Fleck and how he runs the team as well, but Glenn Caruso, we've got to have him on as a guest, guys, once in a while, some of these games and everything. And he's right in our backyard, and the guy's winning percentage as a coach is unbelievable. You look at him in the MIAC, 88% wins. You look at a Division I, geez, it's going to go way down. He's got 87% wins in the conference and 78% winning. I mean, it's just amazing what they have built over there with their quarterbacks, their running backs. And Charlie was talking about one of the offensive linemen has aspirations for the NFL. He's got the size, so time will tell if he's got the ability. But they have a big, huge offensive line, good running back, good quarterback. I couldn't tell you how impressed I was by these guys and what they were able to do over there.
How impressed was Alec Lewis about J.J. McCarthy's performance yesterday? We'll talk to him, Alec Lewis of The Athletic, and some more football coming up next.